Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, voters across the country and across Europe will go to the polls in early June to elect members of the next European Parliament. Last week, we discussed the smallest constituency, Dublin, that's the smallest geographically. And today, we're turning our attention to the largest and most diverse, Midlands North West, which stretches from Galway to Louth and Kildare to Donegal. And joining me in studio is Executive Editor of the Irish Independent, Kevin Doyle, and Professor of Politics at DCU, Gary Murphy. Good morning to you both. Deep breaths, because it's a big constituency. Kevin, to you first, from the commuter belt of Dublin all the way through the Midlands and out to the Wild Atlantic Way. I mean, it's a mileage claimant's dream, but sadly it doesn't apply. It's a canvasser's nightmare, isn't it?
It's an absolute nightmare because it is actually impossible to canvass. It's almost impossible to poster. It's the closest thing you would probably get to a presidential style election where, speaking to some of the candidates, they're basically trying to hit big events, big football matches, hurling matches is, I suppose, the height of GAA season, lucky enough for them. And that's all they can do. There's kind of one-off events in different parts of the constituency. But the truth is that most of them are pretty much sticking around wherever their homestead is. So if you're from the Donegal part, you're sticking in the northwest and trying to get your votes there rather than spending days and weeks in Kildare and Louth because the connection is different. So it's very, very hard for people to make a real hit on the whole constituency, so they have to target it.
All right, and it probably explains why some of the larger parties are running multiple candidates.
Yeah, there's pros and cons of that. One is, I guess, you get the brand of the party, whether it's Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael, Sinn Féin, whatever, on the lamppost. You get that person out. But for that to work, you really need your candidates to get along and to actually enforce a transfer pact. So when they're actually on your doorstep, they're saying, well, you give me your number one, but make sure you give Gary Murphy your number two. And that doesn't always work. And I'm sure as we go through the parties, we might explore how it hasn't already worked for some of them.
Indeed. Before we get to that, Gary, give us a brief potted history of this constituency and how it evolved to this point.
Yeah, Colm. Again, we've been voting since 1979 in European elections. This was the old Connacht Ulster seat, although when it was Connacht Ulster, it was mainly a three-seater. Then it expanded to four seats, Midlands North or Northwest, and then Midlands Northwest in 2014. There's been some changes in constituency boundaries, which means now it brings in Connacht Ulster, most of North Leinster, and then down to Laois and Offaly, which were in south the last time, but are back in northwest this time. Strong independent country. Neil Blaney won the first seat in 1979, then lost it in 84 and won it back in 89. Dana Maria Scallon won in 1999. Marion Harkin won three in a row, I think, 04, 09. And 14, and Ming Flanagan is a strong independent voice who I think has reasonable expectations of doing very well again after his election. He's now a two-time holder of the seat, 14 and 19. But the unpredictability of it is we've moved from three seats now to five. The Electoral Commission gave it the extra seat in its report earlier this year because we get an extra seat with the British gone after Brexit. And yeah, I think it's a tumultuous challenge for all candidates. Certainly you need a strong battery on your electric car or lots of diesel. And so competitive with, is it 27 people
28
running now?
Candidates
28
now.
Even running now. I lost count.
Yeah, more than there are member states of the European Union. It's a five-seater, so the quota is 17% of the vote. Many of the key battles, Kevin, within the parties themselves. Let's have a look at Fine Gael first, who won two seats here the last time.
Yeah, and this for me comes down to the question about honestly asking voters to give their number two to your party colleague. And Fine Gael is probably the most obvious example of that because I see there is possibly one seat here for Fine Gael. I don't think there are two this time round like last time because 5 years ago you had the phenomenon that was Mairead McGuinness, now our EU commissioner. She romped home and she actually got 50,000 more votes than Ming Flanagan, who came second on the first count that time around. And as a result, she brought in Maria Walsh, who was then the celebrity candidate. She, of course, had been the former Rosa Tralee, who very shortly after winning that contest had come out as gay and was kind of seen as a beacon of New Ireland and very transformative in terms of, I suppose, what the Rosa Tralee's image was up to that point. So 5 years on, Maria Walsh is now, if you like, the politician on the card. She has done 5 years in Brussels on the back of getting in with Mairead McGuinness, and you have added to the ticket. So they have lost Colm Markey, who replaced Mairead McGuinness when she went on to take over.
Which
European
is allowed in these elections. There is no by-election for the European Parliament. There's alternates, a list of alternates on everyone's list who'll take the place if you don't run the full term.
Exactly. And he very politely stepped aside because I think he more or less got the vibe from Fine Gael headquarters that he wasn't their preferred man. And lo and behold, celebrity candidate new is Nina Carberry. So Nina Carberry, obviously based on the eastern side of this constituency, Maria Walsh on the west. So they have splitted very well. But the question is, can those two women bring in enough votes to get both of them over the line? I think that's a very big ask given where Fine Gael are at in the polls. Now, Fine Gael have a lot of track record here of running two women. They had Avril Doyle and Mairead McGuinness back in the noughties, and they famously had many fallings out that dominated headlines in front
in terms
of newspapers.
Division of constituency.
It happened a little bit last time with Mairead McGuinness and Maria Walsh, where they went at each other in a row over constituency boundaries and who was allowed to campaign where. I don't get the vibe that Nina Carberry and Maria Walsh are going to fight among themselves, but by being too nice, they actually might end up that one of them loses out at the end of the day.
I mean, there's been a Fine Gael seat ever since the voting started in 1979, and I think we certainly would expect that in a five-seater, Fine Gael will win two, or one, excuse me. I think two is certainly too much of an ask when the volatility has become more pronounced in the 5 years since 2019. The interesting candidate in one way is Carberry, certainly celebrity candidates, but as Kevin would know, I mean, maybe the greatest hurler of the modern era, Brian Whelan, got a few hundred votes in Birr after he'd been named on the hurling team of the millennium. There's no guarantee that celebrity translates to how people feel when they vote at the ballot box, and I think that's the challenge for Nina Carberry. Is, yeah, she's well known certainly in rural circles, but will this translate when people come to vote? And Walsh, as she had, I think, shown in the last election in 2019, is she's kind of tough, I think, and certainly won't give up her seat easily.
No disrespect to anybody concerned. No celebrity candidates on the Fianna Fáil slate. No lack of ambition either. They're running three candidates in an effort to cover all bases. Gary, is that wise, ambitious or reckless?
I would be tending towards the latter, between ambitious and reckless. They don't have a seat. They haven't held a seat here, actually, since 2009. Three seats, and the whole point about sweepers. I remember Simon Harris, or Taoiseach, was a sweeper in South a couple of elections ago. So, but I mean, I just think three, you run the risk of splitting.
Right. There is an old
vote.
Pat the Cope Gallagher seat in Connacht Ulster that they might be hoping to reclaim.
But it's gone. And I mean, it's been gone for at least
a decade.
Two elections now, indeed. And we've seen Lisa Chambers come out pretty strongly in a kind of what I might tentatively suggest as a sort of a posting maybe her anti-green agenda against the, trying to demarcate ourselves maybe from the other two candidates. Cohen has the name, I think, and he also Barry Cohen, and he has the sort of the southern end of the constituency where he'll be extremely strong. And Niall Blaney, of course, will be looking to the northwest. But they do run the risk of vote splitting and ending up with nothing.
Right. So transfer discipline highly important for Fianna Fáil there.
Highly important, but this team wasn't put together the way the party intended. I don't think they started out wanting to run three candidates. People would tell you that they wanted that the headquarters wanted Lisa Chambers on the ticket, but when it went to the voters within the party, that's not what they came back with. And so we've ended up with these three candidates, which is exactly what they kind of did last time. They made a mess of the strategy where they had Brendan Smith and Anne Rabbitt, two TDs running. They had enough votes just about to hold a seat, to have a seat for Fianna Fáil. But because they didn't have that discipline, they lost out, and both of them were actually ended up well down the pecking order at the end of it. So they have history of making a mess of it here. I do agree with Gary. I think Barry Cowan is probably the most recognisable there. And he also has the largest part of the constituency, because he basically has the Midlands, where Leigh Shoffley is his constituency, where he'll get a very strong vote. But then he basically has everything to the east of that as well.
All right. Sinn Féin defending a seat, but running two candidates in the hope, presumably, of picking up two seats. Gary, what's the view there?
Yeah, so Matt Carthy, he was the saving hope, really, of Sinn Féin in his very poor European election in 2019, when he held on in Midlands Northwest, taking the last seat. Now, 9 months later, we know Sinn Féin performed extraordinarily well in the general election. Matt Carthy won a seat in Kevin Monaghan, and he was replaced by Chris McManus in one of these replacement candidates. And so he is the incumbent, but he's pretty low profile. He was involved in that controversy in the vote in Brussels a few weeks ago, I'm not sure he has his name profile will get him to
He voted in line with his party. There was the party position. This is the nature of restoration law.
Yes,
he voted in line with the party position. There was some dissent within the party, but he says that's a sign of a reflective
and including from the Dublin candidate.
Well, we won't mention anybody, and we won't mention anybody from the other constituents, because otherwise we'll have to go through all the names in that candidate.
We did that last week, and the other candidate is Michelle Gildernew, who is a former MEP from Fermanagh. I think she's in the name again. She doesn't have great name recognition, I think. But name recognition is one thing. Brand recognition of the party is another thing, and that's where Sinn Féin is extremely strong. And it would be nonsensical not to run two candidates in a constituency where they will be looking to get, I think, close to a third of the vote. I don't know which one of them will take the seat comfortably, but I expect one will, and I expect the other will be in with a significant shout.
All right. Would you call it for either? She would have some name recognition, I think. She had the agriculture portfolio in the Assembly when she was an MLA, and she's also a former MP there as well.
She is, and she's a strong performer on the media. I noticed her talking significantly about agricultural issues, which are a significant proportion, I think, of when people think about how they're going to vote. I think agriculture will be a strong element there. I think she might have an advantage over McManus.
Yeah, I'd agree. I mean, I think she actually has more name recognition. I just think people maybe are not sure why they recognise the name. She has been in the news headlines. Anyone who's followed Northern politics, even from a distance, will know the name Michelle Gildernew probably more than they know Chris McManus, who often, when he's in the media, is largely to explain some vote in Europe that people have raised questions over. So,
and the electorate doesn't really care about.
And the electorate doesn't care that much, actually, once a lot of these people go to Europe. So there is, as we said at the start, a kind of a presidential feel to this. And I would probably tip, even though she's coming across the border, I think Michelle Gildernew will probably end up with more of a profile at the end of the campaign than Chris McManus has.
All right. Once upon a time, a member of Sinn Féin, Aonthu's TD, Padraig Tobin, running in this constituency as well, Gary. He's had a high profile, I suppose, initially on his departure from Sinn Féin, but more recently on his use of parliamentary questions on the issue of migration. In the referendum campaign, well, it's also has been very prominent there.
Yeah, I mean, in one way, he was the star performer of the No campaign in the referendum, called it early, campaigned against both referendums, and then wasn't shy about telling people in the aftermath of it that he and his party represented Real Ireland, whatever that means. Now, he's a very strong performer in Meath. He is a three-time winner in Meath West in 2011, 2016 as Sinn Féin, and then in 2020 as Aonthu. And branching out on your own, moving yourself from the Sinn Féin brand in an election when that brand was in, was an incredibly brave step. I mean, he was out of step with the party about abortion, and mainly campaigned against the repeal of the Eighth Amendment. But he's got a very high profile, more high profile than both of the Sinn Féin candidates, let's be frank about it. And I think he's got a really strong chance in a constituency where there is a tradition I talked about independence earlier, but maybe of not the two Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, the traditional parties doing as well. So I think he's in with a very strong chance.
All right, win or lose, it's win-win for Aonthu, isn't it, Kevin? Because, you know, the profile of the party is raised as canvassing goes on. But it's a problem for Sinn Féin potentially in terms of not so much in transfers as first preferences.
Yeah, Patrick Tobin speaks to a lot of the points that Sinn Féin speak to, but he does offer an alternative here to a lot of the candidates we've talked to, in that he puts forward a socially conservative political view of the world. He has been quite outspoken on immigration. So he's going to pick up votes across the board. From there's a huge number of independents here, and there's potential for Patrick Tobin to take a lot of transfers there. There's potential for him to take votes off the establishment parties. So I think for him, it is a no-brainer. A lot of people have said, why would you do that? Why would you risk that? You'll have to leave the Dáil and become the party leader from Brussels. But it's quite clear what he's going to do, which is he will go to Brussels, and when the general election comes back, he'll be back on the ticket for that. And suddenly Aintu goes. One of the criticisms they get is that we keep talking about Aintu as a party, but they only have one TD, who's the one person who shows up every time you look for a panel in here. Well, suddenly, if he does that and he pulls it off, he gets to have an MEP and, at least assuming he wins his seat back in the Dáil, a TD. And suddenly you've doubled the people with official high office in the party.
All right. I think it might be a stretch for him, but I think he will poll very well. And first preferences are really important. Transfers are all well and good in Irish elections, but the most important thing is you need a significant first vote, first preference vote, to give you a chance to pick up transfers. Right. And I think he's in with a shout there.
Let's have a look at independents. Luke Ming Flanagan, he's been on the go a long time. He began, once upon a time, he was a familiar face on TV screens. He was a legalisation of cannabis campaigner originally, and then got a turf cut in constituency and was elected as a TD. He was elected to Europe as well, Kevin. So there's very much a Luke Ming Flanagan personal vote.
There is, and he finished second last time to Mairead McGuinness in terms of first preferences. So he's in a very strong starting position in this race. He's an MEP now since 2014. He has made a big play out of the idea that he is the most conscious of agriculture, which is a huge topic in this particular constituency. He's been on the Agriculture Committee. And that is basically his pitch to people, is that he is a disgruntled voice in Europe, that he's out there basically not saying everything is grand, that the European Union is fantastic, and that he is basically something of an antagonist when he goes out to Brussels. And that is his big pitch to voters. And it has worked the last two times out. And I certainly think that when it boils down to this, he has a very good chance of retaining his seat.
All right. There a slight issue maybe, but once upon a time he was a sort of a co-campaigner on the turf cutting issue with Michael Fitzmaurice from Independent Ireland. Independent Ireland has backed Ciarán Mullooly as the candidate for this constituency. Is that an issue for Luke Ming Flanagan?
I think it is for a couple of reasons. One is their name recognition that comes with having been a former RTE correspondent. Ciarán Mullooly is just associated with that whole area around the Midlands, taking in Laois, Offaly, Westmeath, Longford, into Roscommon. Michael Fitzmaurice, a big vote getter down there and a very popular figure in that part of the world as well. And Ciarán Mullooly is picking up on many of the issues that have been Luke Ming Flanagan. So in terms of things around nature, around environment, around the impact of climate, around the just transition, which is a huge topic in the Midlands, and the ever-increasing amount of green policy. So Ciarán Mullooly is really playing from the same playbook as Luke Ming Flanagan. Now, I don't mean that their policies align completely. There's lots of things, but they're certainly hitting on the same topics. And geography means that they're very close as well. So I think
okay,
Luke probably has a bit more of the left about him.
We better get through a few more than Peter Casey, Kevin, and then we'll rattle through another few as well. Peter Casey, obviously high profile in the presidential election. Give us your assessment.
Peter Casey peaked in 2018 when he finished second to Michael D. Higgins. So that was his kind of highest vote. He got a huge vote at the time. But he's had a number of other elections. He had a very poor Shannon election in 2016. He ran in two Dáil constituencies in 2020, including in his own Donegal, and didn't get there. Big on immigration, big on MICA, which is a huge issue up in Donegal. I'm not sure that those issues necessarily, as in MICA, will translate in the same way in other counties outside of his local vote. So he'll probably pull a vote, but I don't think he's going to be in the reckoning this time. He finished fifth 5 years ago.
He got nearly 10% of the vote. I mean, so he had a significant vote, but I agree with Kevin. I think his time has passed.
The Greens are running Senator Pauline O'Reilly, but also a former Green candidate, Saoirse McHugh, running here as well. So there's a battle for the first preferences, Gary, on the group for the Green vote as well.
There is, and I think it has, like the Greens and one we have achieved quite a lot in government, they might argue, but I think it's a hard hard sell for them. Pauline O'Reilly hasn't really great name recognition, although has a senior role within the party. And Saoirse McHugh, I mean, again, might be fishing in the same pot as sort of Luke Ming Flanagan on that sort of soft left as well. I mean, I think they probably split whatever green vote is there, and I would be surprised if either of them were anywhere really near the hunt, because again you have there's a sign of soft left vote there, which we might associate with someone like the Social Democrats candidate Rory Hearn. So yeah, I think there's a bit of a chance it'll all end up in a
Rory Hearn, I suppose, he has pool profile from the Social Democrats from his book on housing, being a housing campaigner previously, People Before Profit, but now with the Social Democrats. He originally from Waterford, but has been based in Dublin and Maynooth indeed for long time.
He works in Maynooth, but he's based in North Dublin, I think. And yeah, his book Gaffes was shortlisted for the Irish Book of the Year a year or two back. He's a formidable campaigner in terms of when he comes across on radio. But I'm not sure his profile around Dublin will transfer to Longford, Donegal, the west of Ireland, and I think he might poll reasonably well. But I'm surprised in one way he's running for the Social Democrats. I always thought his views were a bit harder left than that. But I wouldn't be surprised if he performs well in debates. But I think it's probably a step too far for him.
Kevin, there's a wide field of candidates running on what might be termed an anti-establishment, even an anti-immigration ticket. You mentioned Peter Casey already, who already has a profile and the capacity to take quite a lot of first preferences. Here, there's a lot of people fishing in the same pool there. So what's your assessment of that field?
To their own detriment, I think, is the reality of that, because we have the old adage in politics, or certainly in Irish politics, that the left can never get it together, that we have all these small left-wing parties, and therefore that's why we've never had a truly left-wing government, because they can't actually come in and work around each other. I think you're seeing that on the right wing now, where you have at least half a dozen, if not more, candidates here who are more or less saying the same thing, but they all are coming at it slightly differently. Some are harder than others. And as a result, that vote is probably going to scattergun among all of them. There's no transfer pact. There's no coherence there. So I think they'll all struggle to feature a vote worth noting at the end of the day, is the reality, because there's so many of them.
All right, here we go. Let's we go through all the candidates as we have to do. So there is Fergal Landy of the Labour Party. There is Brian O'Boyle of People Before Profit Solidarity. Justin Barrett of the National Party on Party Na Síonta. James Reynolds of the National Party on Party Na Síonta. Herman Kelly, the Irish Freedom Party. Anthony Cahill, the Irish People. Margaret Maguire, Ireland First. Stephen Garland, Independent. Charlotte Keenan, Independent. Daniel Pocock, Independent. Michelle Smith, Independent. Dr. Jerry Waters, Independent. John Waters, Independent. That is the list of constituents who are running in the Midlands Northwest constituency. Thanks to Kevin Doyle from the Irish Independent and Gary Murphy of DCU. And next Wednesday, we'll profile the third and final Euro constituency, Ireland South.